Welcome back to The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick with you, filling in for John Hockenberry today. Let's continue our conversation that we started yesterday when California Democratic Congressman Eric Swalwell discussed his bill that would give Congress the power to connect remotely, casting some votes or even attending committee hearings via computer. And when it comes to voting in America, many of you agree that the system should be made more accessible. From Irving, Texas, we heard this. I live in Texas. Voting is especially difficult for minorities, low and moderate income people, and women. Voting is a right, not a privilege for the wealthy few. Well, Congressman Swalwell's argument for Congress is a simple one. Technology can and should simplify the process in this country. It's a scary thought for some of you.
John Evans, I'm calling from Tacoma, Washington. After the well-documented scandal during the George Bush-Al Gore presidential race, it's really hard to have faith in the voting system, at least the national one. With electronic voting, it's so easy to just have one vote cast and tally up in the other column.
Some distrust there from one listener, but others of you are on board. From Daytona Beach in Florida, voting on the internet using your Social Security number and making it where you can check how you voted to make sure your vote really counted. So what will the future of voting in America look like? Joining me now to weigh in is Ronald Rivest, professor of electrical engineering and computer science at MIT. He's also on the faculty of the Caltech MIT Voting Technology Project. Welcome, Professor.
Hello, Todd.
It's great to have you. You know, before we start this discussion, we kind of have to acknowledge that voting isn't getting easier in this country. In a lot of places, it's getting harder. Now, that's a political issue between the parties, but nobody's using apps and Skype to make voting easier. They're making it harder with voter ID laws and a bunch of other things.
That seems to be the case, unfortunately. Technology plays a role in some of this, but a lot of it is political.
So what does the latest technology have to offer? Is it as simple as an app that verifies your Social Security number and anybody with a smartphone can do it? What's on the horizon?
That's a wonderful vision, but I don't think we're anywhere near making that reasonably secure yet. It comes up all the time. People are familiar with their smartphones, and they'd love to be able to vote with their smartphones. I would too. But there's lots of reasons why we're just not ready for that yet. And I think sticking to a paper ballot system at your local school or something like that is likely to be the preferred voting system for quite a while yet.
And it's even the case when people show up in person at the polling station, whether it's the local firehouse or the elementary school, even voting on an ATM-style console in person has been problematic for a lot of people.
It has been. I think one of the things that's not appreciated by a lot of people when they think about what a voting system is supposed to do, you should be able to go there, it should be easy to use, and of course the answer should be right. But one of the things that's sort of behind the scenes that's very important for a voting system is the answer needs to be verifiably right. That is, you need to produce evidence that the answer is correct, even to convince the losers they lost fair and square. And so having an audit trail is so important for the functioning of democracy.
I'm sitting here thinking, of course, as you describe this, everybody's thinking about voting officials in Florida staring
Absolutely.
At punch cards with chads with magnifying glasses.
Yeah, that was a sad moment in American voting. But on the other hand, at least they had an evidence trail to look at. Suppose you had that same situation. All they could say was, well, the computer said so-and-so won. And they say, let's have a recount. And they push the button and says, yep, he won. You know, that's totally unsatisfactory.
So with all of the things wrong with the potential for electronic or remote or technology-driven voting, what potential solutions are there? What's in development that people might come to accept one day?
There's a lot of technologists who are looking at this question closely, and I think we can make small steps towards better voting systems, but they need to be small steps. If you take a big step, you might be stepping off the cliff.
And what does that mean? I mean, I'm thinking that when I vote, you know, last time I voted on a console, but it spat out a receipt that had my vote on a piece of paper that I brought home.
I don't know where you voted. The receipt should not have in plain text who you voted for, because that would enable vote selling. So one of the requirements for a good voting system is it should not enable vote selling. If you can take home a receipt that says I voted for so-and-so, you can take that down to your local bar and ask for your $20 for your vote or something.
Right? Maybe I should have. All right. It might not have had the candidate, but I did get an I voted slip or something, at least verify
right,
that I've
right.
been
so
there.
There's a fine line you want to go between giving the voter something that can allow them to prove who they voted for and is therefore sellable versus allowing them to verify that their vote was properly cast and counted the way they intended.
And how does the verification work in those cases?
So the key idea is after you cast your vote, you get a receipt that's basically a mathematical transformation of your vote. So you can't show it to somebody and prove to them how they voted, but you can then go online and look up and see that your vote is correctly recorded. And so there's a website that allows you to say, you know, my vote, my ballot number was such and such. Here's what my receipt says. And beyond that, there's additional verification that allows you to check that the tally is correct, that the sum of all these mathematically transformed votes gives you the right answer. But all in all, you get a path all the way from what's in your head to the final tally, and you know your vote counted as intended.
And it would also enable election officials in the event of a recount to go up, to be able to go back and verify.
Absolutely. Not just election officials. Anybody can go back and verify. You can look at the collection of votes on the website and say, is this the correct tally for that collection of votes? Even though you can't see how individuals voted, you can see that the overall tally is right.
So when you take a step back from this, Ronald Rivest, you know, the psychology of voting is very deeply held by a lot of people, certainly by campaigns who don't want to give up a certain vote to potential fraud from the other side. We're in this moment where in our heads we want voting to be easier because smartphones and ATMs make things so much easier. But we're also at a moment where voting is getting harder. Simple things like weekend voting, early voting, absentee voting are getting harder in so many other jurisdictions. And that's politics. So there are two major opposing forces here. I don't quite see where they can be reconciled.
Yeah, I think that there's no magic bullet here. Voting is always a question of trade-offs, and it's always an arena for pushing and shoving in the political arena as well. So you've got to trade off, you know, voter privacy versus security. You've got to trade off, you know, the demands of various political parties and so on too. I think there's a lot we could do on the political realm to make things easier. I'd be in favor of, you know, everything from nonpartisan administration to weekend voting and having a vacation day for voting. There's a lot we could do in that realm.
Do you think in the immediate term the answer to more participation might be making traditional voting easier and save the technological solutions for another day?
I think it may very well be. It's hard to tell. The studies that have come out seem to indicate that technology changes don't affect voter turnout much. I think that some of these other things that you're talking about, making the day easier, making provisional voting work very smoothly and so on, I think are much better help.
Hey, you know, in Australia, voting is compulsory. Now, the fine is only $40 if you don't go, but you got to go.
You got to go, but you could cast a blank ballot. That's allowed.
Right. You just got to show up.
You have to show up.
Should we have that here?
It hasn't been debated much here. I don't have a firm opinion about that. I think I can go either way. I think it might be helpful. Who knows? Give it a try.
Ronald Rivest has the chance to cast his vote, and he could go either way. But we appreciate him coming here to talk about the future of voting technology. It's dicey because whether or not you vote itself is extremely political. Ronald Rivest is with the Caltech MIT Voting Technology Project. He's also professor of electrical engineering and computer science at MIT. Thanks, Professor.
Thank you.
Well, how would you feel about e-voting? And if you're nervous about digital, how about good old-fashioned snail mail? From South Carolina, we get this. All elections should be vote by mail. Your ballot arrives at your house. You never have to take off work to vote. And you can spend weeks reading about the issues and candidates before you decide to vote. If you're on Twitter, you can tweet us at The Takeaway. I'm at Todd Zwillick. Thanks for listening. John Hockenberry's back tomorrow. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.